live in Toronto are back on a winning.
Ow! 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 Jesus.
What? What?
I got her now.
Okay, ow, you know what? I'm sorry. You're on 2 minutes mute until Kristen lets you back in.
What the fuck is the?
It's the Vocal Minority Podcast.
Raise your voice.
Thank you for that. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Vocal Minority Podcast, the podcast that loves the Voyager's Cup. Yay! Ooh. On this week's episode, we look back at the week that was in CanPL, talk about a good night for TFC, try to wrap our heads around proposed FA Cup changes, preview the Voyager's Cup, yay! And more. And now to this week's panel. Currently, a panelist on a popular fan podcast. Please say hello to Duncan Fletcher.
That's fucking ridiculous. I mean, why is it within that particular game, in that moment? I mean, come on, you just, the whole VAR thing's offsides that fucking narrow and nonsense anyway. But right then, in that situation where fucking Coventry have just done fucking that, then you're going to pull it back for that? It's outrageous. Just burn the whole fucking thing down.
I want to believe.
I agree wholeheartedly.
I want to believe that when we cut you off during the intro, you somehow dovetailed into that to emerge with it once Kristen mentioned it. Like you just nonstop stream of consciousness.
You mean I was actually on mute that whole time?
Thing of beauty, my friend. Thing of beauty.
Is that what you're saying?
We need to move this podcast along. This thing goes on way too long as it is. Well, so we're trying to save some time. As soon as it's too much, we're going to get you off the field and we'll wait 2 minutes and then Ref will bring her back in. So
this is outrageous.
It's a stupid rule, but that's what we're doing, unfortunately.
Moving on.
Sorry.
Currently the producer of a popular fan podcast. Welcome, Mark Hinckley.
Thank you, Kristen. I'm happy to be here and just looking forward to some rousing debate on Manchester United. I'm all for that. That was bullshit too. Fuck them.
Okay, quick. I was like, don't make us mute you. I will wrest control of
bullshit.
This recording.
Everything's bullshit. It's all bullshit. I'm sorry, Coventry. You did not fucking deserve that at all.
No, they did fucking not.
You deserve to win just by coming back 3-0 down. Like, seriously. Honestly, Manchester United, we've
never been so upset to be at work, you know?
Seriously, right now, if you were to gently go fuck yourself to the end of the season, I would be okay with that. Because you lost to Bournemouth. You lost to Bournemouth. Anyway.
All right, settle. Deep breaths. Protesting the Victoria Highlanders not being the selection for the Voyagers Cup, Tony won't be joining us this week. Mm. He seemed really upset about it.
Yeah, I mean, I was really looking forward to him being back. It was going to be a great, shot in the gun for the show and everything. But I admire his principles and the stand he's taking. So, you know, hey, full marks to you, Tony. Yes.
That email he sent, it really laid it all out. Like, it was hard to argue with the passion of his words. Mm-hmm. So, you know, mm-hmm. we have to respect that.
When I think of Tony Walsh, specifically our Tony Walsh, but when I think of our Tony Walsh, conviction is one of the first 18 words I think of when I think of him. So I'm still proud of him.
Yes, absolutely. As for me, I am currently the host and chief cat herder of a popular fan podcast. I am your host, Krista Knowles. Now to our show. All right, first up, what's been happening? And fun stuff over the last week. We're going to start with TFC versus the T-Terrorists. Hey, they won! Woohoo!
Yeah.
Also, T-Terrorists still suck on the road. Actually, they just still suck, which is delightful.
Yeah, nothing's changed. It's tradition.
Well, I had a bit of a moment, though, during the match where, I don't know, one of the commentators or like a little info bug went up when it was like, TFC have not beat, you know, the New England Revolution at home since like 2019. I was like, not now. It was like in like the 83rd minute or something. I was like, fuck off. You trying to jinx them? Yeah. They're very susceptible to this sort of thing. Don't do that.
The fuck
Luke Wellman's terrible at that sort of thing.
He's very concerned.
Like Roz will just always notice that. Just like, shut up, Luke.
It was.
Good God, come on.
No, this was one of the Apple ones. This one was only on thing, but. not the best match. Like let's be clear here. This wasn't fantastic all the time. But there were some really nice moments, and honestly, if not for some pretty decent goalkeeping from both keepers, actually, this would have had more goals in it. There were some nice saves in this match, but first half was, you know, somewhat energetic. A couple saves were forced to be had, including a block on Nacho Gil. But it was really more the second half where you really saw the energy lift for TFC, maybe because they were attacking towards the supporter section, or maybe because they just hadn't conceded a goal yet and were like, wait a second, there's a chance. Like, I felt like it was almost like a little bit of an 80s movie montage feel to it. Wait, we have a chance. And Prince with the goal. Ooh. And is now Toronto's leading scorer on the season with 3 goals. The guy who was like allergic to goals and now seems to have started to figure it out. Regardless of how accidental / on purpose that very delightful goal was, I don't care.
It was clearly deliberate.
Yes.
How do you do that by accident?
I know.
I mean,
I'm just putting that out there for the
fell
naysay.
Up in the air and his legs just happened to go in the
just
right
happened
direction.
To do that.
Come on,
no.
He knew what he was doing.
I feel like I've done that with a pen or like, you know, a tissue. So like, it's not impossible. Like, I'm not superhuman by any stretch. I mean, I'm amazing. I'm not like that good. But yeah, whatever. Yeah. Pedestrian fucking whatever. Like, nice goal, you know, really.
Yeah, it really was, actually. It was, and just.
No, it was spectacular. I'm just kidding. It was
what I loved about that goal, other than the fact that he scored it, that it put them up, that it was eventually the game-winning goal, I loved that JMR had the nice ball in, because he did. It was very well done. And then I loved how genuinely happy Bernadeschi was. Like, he tackled the poor guy to the ground in celebration. Because I don't know if you've seen the clip of him jumping on him, but he's so happy. And I'm like, yay. And then speaking of Bernadeschi, who almost had his first goal on the season. But I have to say this, and I don't know, I don't think I posted during the match. The call, the handball call for that penalty was so weak.
It was pretty soft.
To me, it shouldn't have been called.
Yeah, it was pretty soft.
To me, it shouldn't have been called. I don't like handball calls. To me, like, for, anyway, there has to be a lot more in them for me to think it's a solid call. So in a weird way, I was kind of like, I was okay that he missed, but I was really sad because I really, really, really want him to get a goal, as we all know, because I talk about this every week. So it was a little bit of a strange thing, but I was like, well, probably shouldn't have had the shot anyway, so it's all right. Now please don't lose, you know.
It's true. Yeah, it was. Yeah, same emotions. I'm glad that it wasn't converted. I'm glad it was saved because it shouldn't have been a call in the first place. However, I feel like Brunetsky's been doing some really good work. And I feel like it's not quite the universe owes him one yet, but it's getting there. He's almost there.
Oh,
where it's like,
yeah,
just, you know, hey, keeper, if you just let that one just greasy hands, you know, when you're up 3-0, you know, I know it's your clean sheet and all, but you've seen the work this guy's been doing. Come on. Yeah. It was, I was really surprised VAR saw nothing in it.
Yeah.
And that was shocking.
I know. I was like, pardon? Really? All right. If you're really? Okay. That was strange. But really, I really did enjoy a lot of that match. Again, even again against a New England side that is not very good, but you know, gave you know, gave full money for a while there in terms of counterattack. Sean Johnson forced into a couple very nice saves. That actually he's the keeper for the team of the week for the match day for MLS. So it was good to see him back, another clean sheet in really strong form, which I think is very important for Sean Johnson to have a performance like that, to sort of, you know, get his personal momentum going. And maybe especially when half central defenders are currently injured or suspended, Mr. Long. So that was, if there was ever a night for him to put in a really strong performance, that was it. But yeah, there was some nice performances out there. I wimped out and didn't go to the match. But I saw posted online and then heard a clip of it of Marc-Anthony Kay being booed when he got subbed on. What the fuck, you dicks? Like, come on, Marc-Anthony Kay, of all the players to boo, like this little subset of you that have this vendetta against Marc-Anthony Kay.
The guy who like tried to fight the crowd.
After
they already threw a megaphone at him, he tried to fight them. You're surprised that they're booing him?
I guess I shouldn't be, but it's just that whole situation was stupid too. Like that should never have happened. Anyway. I find it odd. Like we villainize lots of players, right? Absolutely. There's players we don't like and there's players that I will 100% boo because I think they're just bleh. But rarely do I do that with a former player for the club unless they like tried to burn the place down when they left. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. I was surprised that it was like so much booing that it was noted kind of thing. Like we've all booed players. We've all done that, you know, both seriously and jokingly. So I'm not above a booing a player. I'm not saying that. I
chuckled at Eric Zavaleta getting sent off 8 minutes after he came on in LA's game at the weekend. If he comes back, am I going to boo him? Not seriously.
No. Perhaps like jokingly,
yes. But you know,
I would just make lots of nephew comments. Hey, it's the nepotism player. Hello, you know, like that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. You know, it was fun to boo him when he was playing for El Salvador.
That was particularly funny.
Yeah. That was delightful.
Like such that even he should be super okay with it, because honestly. Yeah, that's perfect. You know, he wasn't like the greatest player that ever played for Toronto, but now you're playing against us in the national level. Yeah. Yeah, you're getting booed. You're absolutely fucking getting booed.
100%. Yeah.
And if you otherwise, you do not know us at all.
Yes.
Were you ever here? Give your head.
I don't feel like he seemed like, you know, he had an issue with it.
I think it was more like a, okay.
Yep. Like yep. That. All right. What? Thanks.
Okay.
Me?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny. I, to me, honestly, that sort of thing is a little bit of a, not necessarily a mark of respect, but kind of like, we see you. It's okay. We're going to boo you.
Yeah. We recognize who you are, that you're on this pitch. And this
weirdly
is
weirdly playing for El Salvador, so we're gonna boo you.
This is us acknowledge, like, we don't give any emotional fucking reaction to anybody else on your team. So you come out, just accept it, be happy that anybody on your team gets an emotional response whatsoever, and play your fucking game. And we're all gonna be good.
Exactly.
We're still gonna think kindly of you in your good days, poorly of you in your bad days, but you're always going to be one of this team.
So back to the actual game. That was Toronto's fifth clean sheet of the season.
Jeez.
I know.
Did we even have five last year?
I feel like maybe we had five last year, like the whole year, but I don't know. Martin, if you could let us know, that would be great, because I don't want to go looking right now.
Martin's
yeah,
busy. It's the playoffs and everything. Leave him alone.
Yeah,
oh, that's true.
He's got AI doing it for now.
Duncan, what time is the game? Do you need to leave recording early? I just realized.
No, I'll be fine.
Don't the Leafs play tonight?
They do, yes. But, you know, it'll be okay. Yeah.
Okay.
When the podcast finishes, I'll go watch. They'll be losing. They'll lose. It's fine.
they're playing Boston, aren't they?
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Appreciate your optimism, Dunk.
Yes. But, yeah, it's a new Bruins beat the Leafs 5-1, and they're going to beat them, what have you, in like probably four or five games in this series. What, all right, I'll go to seven games again, whichever. But anyway, Boston's going to win here, whatever. You know, Toronto beat Boston on Saturday, Boston/Foxborough, what have you. Yeah. That's the real quiz. Sick of Boston.
Yes, 100%. A bit of sort of a funny thing from Owusu when, you know, asked about the goal and stuff. You know, what was going through his mind on the finish, and he was like, nothing.
Amazing.
I was like, but apparently he said, I scored an even more beautiful goal in training. Apparently the guy said, you already did it in training. So it was like, oh, well, whatever. So apparently this is a thing now. But yeah, so like he's found his scoring boots, and that's what everyone, you know, we've been waiting for that, right? So that is really delightful, and to see him like involved, if they can get him involved, and see JMR doing some nice things again. And again, I don't know what this season is going to bring for Toronto. It's been a bit, you know, up and down already, but it remains an improvement, vast improvement over last season so far. Like they're at least, for the most part, interesting to watch, and seem a lot more coherent, like cohesive. Coherent is not the word. They seem a lot more cohesive. And they actually seem like they like each other. Where last season, I don't feel like anybody liked anybody. So I don't know.
No. No, not in the slightest. We know we're going to speak to lawyers soon and start the process of a separation. And until we get that meeting, which is next week, I'm just fucking enduring everybody in this house. And that's what it really felt like. Very tense, not like barely cordial.
For financial reasons, we're all still living together.
Yeah. And a legal piece of paper, we're a fucking team somehow. Now it's not that anymore. And it's nicer. Who am I kidding? It's fucking paradise compared to last year. I'll take this, whatever this bullshit ends up being by the end of the season, I will take this twice before I go back to last year with the hope.
With the hope? You had hope last year?
Well, here's all these fucking Italian players and this is great. And here's this coach and everything. No, that was ugly early, but there was always hope. Like you could see that there was very, very flickers of utter brilliance in an otherwise just barren fucking game. And those flickers disappeared, but you'd see like a 1-2 where it's like, ooh, and no, that was it. That was all you're getting. That was your fucking dessert, people. Enjoy the frozen peas, because that's your meal. All of it. For the record, they're not cooked. They're still frozen. So, like this.
But you're
this,
not leaving that seat until you've eaten them all. Young
yeah, the whole fucking bag. You get a bag,
God.
We all get a bag.
Like my childhood is horrible.
So like
leaving the table until we'd eaten everything, no matter what it was.
But in this case, like, you know, it's the defense has still got, you know, gaping holes in it, but it's fun. It's not like desperation. It's not like, It's not like going through the motions. It's like, okay, these guys are playing with purpose. Like, even if they're not perfect, they're trying.
Bernardeschi saved the ball in the dying seconds in the second half.
That's not a 2023 Bernardeschi.
No, not at all.
That was never a 2023 Bernardeschi doesn't come back over the half line.
I was gonna say he wouldn't have been anywhere near there last year. So anyway, the transformation of Bernardeschi may be the biggest thing that happens to TFC this year. We shall see. All right. Mm-hmm. One last thing with TFC before we move on to CAMPL stuff. They did sign, just because of all of the injuries, they did one of those short-term desperation signings from the Young Reds, Andre Dumitru, midfielder, who was on the bench, did not feature in the match at all. Only 17. So that would have been interesting to see him take the pitch, but they didn't need him. So that's probably, quite frankly, for the best. let him not make his debut in such potentially dire circumstances. So anyway, but welcome to your first, oh my God, we need a warm body signing, Andre. So
it's been a while.
Enjoy the rest of your, exactly. It has been a while.
It's been like almost 2 weeks since we had a desperation warm body signing.
Exactly. This feels familiar.
That really should be part of like the brackets that sit next to players' names when you look at rosters on MLS.com. It'll say like, you know, DP, was it Generation Adidas player, like the local discovery players, like there's these designations, international is like warm body desperation signing. Just give me a couple WB
DS's.
Yeah. Give me a couple WBDS's and that, like, that just warms my heart. It's like, oh,
I am here for that 100%. Absolutely. I love it. All right, CAMPL. With the long drawn out CAMPL week with a match a day. The Seagulls still soaring. What? Good for them. I was just like, oh, you won again, and they are currently the top team in the league, which I would not have called to start the season in any way, shape, or form. Now they are not the only one. It is early, and they're not the there's three teams tied, you know, with 6 points. So it's Vancouver, Hamilton, and Victoria. But on the basis of goal differential, they are currently tops. So good for them. Quite seriously, well done. Good job. Good job, you Seagulls. It's the kits. It's the beautiful kits. Is what it is. That's what I've decided. It's just inspired them to greater heights. Is wearing the beautiful kits. I have no idea. But yeah, 2-0 win over Halifax, and looked pretty decent doing it. I think the first goal, from my understanding, was not really purposeful, but it happened and it went in, so that's what matters. When a ball fortuitously landed in front of someone. Rocco Romeo, former TFC player, TFC 2.
Okay, I remember him.
Yeah, yep, plays for the Seagulls. But yeah, they won 2-0, and they've got V Cup match coming up tomorrow night, which we'll talk about in a little while, but a very nice start to the season for them. So good. Mm-hmm. We want success for all the teams. Yes. Well, not all the teams, but
keep going. Fly like a seagull.
Fly like a seagull. Oh my God. Yes. I'm so gonna have that in my head.
Let's hope so.
Oh no. Oh, damn you, Duncan. I mean, I love you dearly, but damn it.
I do what I can.
All right. So yes, I do think it's, I think it's interesting that the Halifax coach Gaisaro was saying that they play very unpredictably, so it's hard and to like sense what they're going to do. So I'm sort of here for team chaos then, if that's what Vancouver's going to do all season, is just be like, ah, you don't know what we're going to do. Like, I love that shit. Like, why not? We need a good team chaos. We haven't had one for a while.
True.
And then again, so far, at least surprising me to start the season, since I'd peg them to struggle. Again, it's still early. There's time. And they did play Winnipeg. But Aquaman also with a tidy win, 2-0 win over the Grey Mice. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Josh, at least Josh Hurd is still around. That's good. That makes me happy. But yeah, they had a strong second half and came out pretty easily on top, wearing their nice purple kits. But yes, congratulations. So the West Coast teams doing some good stuff to start the season. And I was, oh right, Gadzov. I keep forgetting that he's the keeper. He's playing well. They're really singing his praises a lot, and the clips I've seen of, yeah, it's been he seems to really be getting comfy out there, so that's nice. Plus, I just love his name. I don't know why. Gazdov. Mark.
Yes.
I know you didn't end up going.
I know it's bullshit.
But,
you know what?
But
people should stop having babies. Just gonna say it right there. It's ruining. Ruining my ability to go to games, honestly. Keep it in your pants, everyone. That being said, no, I did not get to watch.
He was having a baby, Mark. He was having a baby.
We'll leave it at family. Let's say that the missus now has her first official real blood nephew, as compared to once through marriage, or what our cousins and friends call their kids to us, you know. No.
Sure. So, okay, well, that's nice.
Yeah, I guess
now,
so.
Now, Mark, as we talk about this game, I'm going to let you talk about this game. I feel like maybe, I feel like Schwanier the Lesser is going to win you over this year, and you might have to change his nickname.
You know what? Schwanier the Medium? No, Schwanier the Lesser can keep his nickname because he plays for Montreal. Schwanier the Greater, however, plays for Hamilton.
Yes, I know.
I desperately tried to get a Ico rendition of involving the Schwanier brothers. Did not catch on. Most people apparently don't know the song, but I thought it was particularly funny. Anyway, he was fucking fantastic. And I'm biased. He is fantastic, but I also am biased because he's the only Forge player I've got on the back of a kit. Like,
yeah,
there's a lot of great players on that team that have been here for a cup of coffee and have been here since day one. And he's the one I've got. He's fantastic. It was a pretty good game. I felt like York was kind of getting, it was a bit back and forthy at the beginning, like in the first half. And it felt like around maybe the 30, 35th minute, somewhere around there, York just, I don't want to say they gave up. It's just that the momentum really kind of waned. And it just, instead of it going like from one half to the other half back and forth, it would go into York's end and then it would get to the midfield and then it would go back to York's, like the circuit shrunk to about that middle third of the pitch. And I mean, like, I know they had opportunities, but it just seemed like once Forge got that first goal, at the death of the first half, kind of came out a little deflated. York, I mean, so, and Benny Badibanga,
yeah,
tremendous name to say, tremendous player to watch. The guy's so fucking good. Still don't know how he's here. Still don't know.
I don't, like, seriously, why is he here? I don't even understand.
He's got to be like the number six wide receiver for the Ticats. That's the only fucking thing that makes sense. Because he's too fucking good for this league. He's just so good and effortless. And it's just, anyway, yeah, it was a good display. It was a comprehensive display. They got a pretty good crowd out there for it too. I know it was their home opener, and I know Hamilton sent a section full to the match.
They hit over 2,000, right?
They got like 2,300, 2,400 at the game. For York, that's massive, guys. Yeah.
That's huge.
And I weekly imploration to those of you who listen, it's worth getting up there for a match. Not because Hamilton was there looking awesome, but like York is still a decent size. There are some gaps with all the players that left. We'll say that. It's clear. They're not quite as their fun potential isn't as high as it was last year. Last year they were super fun. Super fun. Not so fun yet. I don't know if I'm sure they'll find their funness. And if you're confused by like, why is this guy on a podcast describing teams in levels of fun? Hear me out. Not everything has got to be wins and losses. If you literally go to watch your football for wins and losses, why do you even fucking care about Toronto FC? They've got so much deficit, you'll never recoup. Okay. That's a lot of losses. That's a lot of L's going back from day one. So go watch your football based on funness. A team can lose a lot and be fun. Toronto is kind of fun right now. York last year was super fun. York was super fun to watch. But they did lose a lot of key characters that made their fun level high. Also, why isn't there a stat for fun? They need to fucking quantify fun and just put that like right above XG, because XG is stupid. I covered that last week. It's fun, a fun ratio of like 10, maximum fun, and then zero boring 1980s Catenaccio shit. Okay. Somewhere in there, like it's fun. It's fun football, honestly. It was a great game for Hamilton. York still look like they're trying to figure each other out, because I know they had a bit of turnover. Their keeper's not bad. He's no Giantsopoulos. None of those goals could be really held accountable for, because Hamilton scored a lot of really good ones. So, 3 more points. Somehow we're not top of the table, but that's because it's only the second game. So
exactly. And then this is slightly out of order, but Not that the other matches weren't all very interesting, but this one was, 1-1 draw between Otledi and the Pony Boys, where the Otledi managed to lose literally in the dying seconds on an own goal after a lovely goal from Amir Didic, who still makes me sad. Just like watching Ottawa right now is just confusing for me. I'm just like, oh, look, Pacific player. Oh, look, Pacific player. Oh, look, another fucking Pacific player. This is amazing. But also this match made me just, this match was hard for me to watch in terms of the kits, because one of them I hate with the light of a thousand suns, and the other one, the sponsor just puts me into a rage. So it was both of them together.
I thought for sure after last week's pod and the kit pod that you were going to be over by now, but apparently you're still going on.
Never over it.
You shouldn't be. But my point is, it's just funny. That kit has gotten a lot of hate from you in 3 recordings in a row that I've done with you.
They keep fucking wearing it.
It's a good reason to hate it.
It's their third kit. Why are they wearing it so early in the season? I don't even understand. Like, they just wear one of your other kits.
They got that perfectly
merchandise
good.
Merchandising, Kristen. You know the answer.
We got to
merchandise the camo.
Yeah, we got to sell kits on the road, apparently. They got that perfectly good Northern Lights kit. Like, wear that one. Yeah. That one hasn't offended me yet. Do it, cowards.
They wouldn't wear the red one, obviously. But yeah, wear your Northern Lights kit. That one's fine. I actually kind of like that kit. Stop wearing this fucking camo piece of garbage everywhere. Jesus Christ. Anyway.
La, 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 la. That's been Kit
but
talking.
This match. Yes, exactly. Kit rant. This has been, this match was, again, probably the most even match of the four for the week, I felt. I also watched more of this one, Rage or No. But it seemed there was a lot of back and forth in this match. It was mostly entertaining to watch, but that goal at the end, like Calgary were pressing, like they were, you know, all power to them for not giving up and really just like forcing the issue literally. The ball went in off a Tordek, and that's what she wrote. So 1-1. So you've got Seagulls on top, the Handies in second, and the Aquamen in third right now. So that is the top of the table. Ottawa hanging out in the middle all by itself, and then the Dregs at the bottom. Calgary, Halifax. Nobody, why you guys? And Winnipeg, you're making me look bad. Come on, man, win a game.
Yeah, like that's, they're going to listen to you. I mean,
I know. They should.
They should, but they're not.
I'm being very encouraging. I know.
It's encouragement. That's not the word I was thinking. I was thinking more like hostile. Like more like if you don't, Kristen's going to talk shit about you next.
I mean, no. But entertaining start to CanPL season 6 so far, I think. It's what I've seen has been, you know, has been fun, and it's the quality is improving season over season, which is what you want. There's some delightful players out there for you to pay attention to, and it's pretty easy to watch the matches, especially for those of you, and I believe this is most of you, because most of you like to watch the EPL, so you all have Fubo, therefore you can watch CanPL.
It's true.
Just putting that out there. Let's move on to what we're talking about. Oh, speaking of some rage. Okay. This is so fucking dumb. Speaking of the Premier League and English football, the FA Cup, which we love. Magic of the Cup. Little like non-league grasp, just delightful Cinderella stuff, and you know, big clubs having to go to these tiny grounds, and just fun. It's just fun is the FA Cup, and someday the Voyagers Cup might remotely approach its luster. And I love the FA Cup. Out of all the cup competitions, this is the one. It is the most fun to watch. It is the most fun to pay attention to and put your hopes on a tiny little club to knock off not just one big club, but like a couple, like just, you know, cause it happens and it's wonderful and it's lovely and exciting and just yay. They've changed the format for next season. Mm-hmm. One of the changes some people are very excited about, and I don't mind this at all rounds to be played on weekends. That will probably bring more eyes, make it easier for fans to travel. Lovely.
Except for the fourth round, which goes from Friday to Wednesday. You know, that's not a weekend. But
well, that's true. This is the main thing, the main issue, and that many, many, many people are upset about, fans, clubs, fans and clubs. This is no replays from first round onwards.
Mm.
What the actual fuck?
I mean, they've been going in this direction for a long time. It used to be unlimited replays.
You know, I know.
Penalties when it meant you could have like four or five games.
Just like
week after week, replays. You're playing the same team. It would have been fantastic. It didn't happen often, but you know, it was nice. And here we are. But yes, it's I just love this paragraph within the article there. From the first round proper, the competition will be played without replays. The current format, which has no replays from the fifth round onwards, has been extended throughout the competition proper in light of changes to the calendar driven by the expanded UEFA competitions. Yes.
There it is.
All the fucking non-league, League One, League Two, for fuck's sake, teams. They're all playing in UEFA competitions. Yes. Yes. Got to be nice and save their schedules from their UEFA commitments. Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah, it's...
Sorry, I shouldn't say that. Has UEFA announced a new tournament? Is it going to be... I know,
UEFA probably.
Is getting bigger and bigger. Is there a European-wide fourth division tournament now?
Oh, no. The giant clubs that have all the money and benches that could beat, you know, could be like one of the best teams in the world probably in some cases. Oh, no. They're too tired. Fuck you. Fuck off. Mm-hmm. Like a cup tournament should not be, you should not bend over back. Like, this is what they're doing. They're just like, oh no. Oh, great. Mighty EPL teams. Oh, anything you need. Are you tired? Do you need a towel? How about a massage? You know, like, fuck off.
I think the thing that my biggest takeaway was to that the reason and what we're fixing here is the possible, and this is, of course, assuming, you know, everybody's still in their competition, we're moving heaven and earth to save the six or seven clubs that are affected by it at the expense of the other. How many do you think are at the third round? Is it 64?
The third
Something
one is 64, like yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're, can you imagine?
And this is talking about going all the way to the first round.
Yeah.
So, you
know, where they're not even in it.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah. Great. Like, honestly, I feel like if you want to save congestion, you get rid of the League Cup. You know, like if you yeah. like the secondary knockout tournament, like. Like not every country's got two of them, guys. I don't know if everyone knows this. Most of them just got the one. And I understand.
I understand. Just yeah. one?
Yeah. Can you believe it? I know Scotland's got, I think they've got two as well. But yeah, like so. Most of them just have the one tournament. And which I think for the spirit and the flavor of the game, I think is brilliant having a knockout tournament that runs concurrently, and it's literally two different champions. You know, one is survival, and the other one is, you know, the work of the entire season. You know, body work the entire season. If you want to like save congestion, let's get rid of a cup. But I would be protecting the FA Cup. It's not even like tradition. It's not even about the tradition. It's about what. In today's game, what those replays actually mean.
Well, exactly.
Is enormous.
And those communities.
What the Fairweather fan doesn't fully understand, and if say the Fairweather, I mean like the people who watch the Premier League, and like they're aware there's other divisions, but the trickle down does not fiscally happen like you think it might.
Because trickle down economics does
and,
not work.
And no, trickle down economics is bullshit. It has never worked once. Not once.
Exactly.
And if you find, and if you somehow find one example where it did, I'll show you hundreds where it didn't. So the benefit of getting a draw such that we went into Everton. We went into Everton and we got a draw. Now they got Everton got to come to our house. That's huge money. That's huge money for like a third, fourth division, a non-league team. Some of the gate television and advertising revenue that comes from that one match can literally make their entire season. And when I say make, I don't mean like, oh, they're going to be in the black because of this. That single game might put them in the black for the whole season without playing other fucking games. It's that kind of cash. And the further you advance into the tournament, the stakes are even greater. And if your team manages to get a draw, why not? Like, let's reward them with another match where everyone's going to get paid real good, nice. But, oh, think of what Chelsea might have to do to work around. Oh, no, they're going to be so tired when they play Swiss random team next week. Like, fuck. Okay, honestly, fuck everybody involved outside of that. That with that thinking, honestly, fuck all y'all. FA Cup is important, but as Kristen has said, these teams have got so much depth. So much depth. Why shouldn't Chelsea have to be forced, or Man United or Manchester City? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the club is. Why shouldn't they be forced to make a hard decision? Which one do you want? Do you want the success in Europe, or do you want the success in this cup? You can do both, but they're tired. It's like, well,
exactly.
Choose one. Send out your 21, send out your reserve, send out your bench. For Christ's sake, a lot of these teams have a full starting 11 and bench that never gets to fucking play, and their first team. Put those guys in.
The incredibly talented, high paid players. Like, oh, but Mark, one thing you've forgotten is that they're going to increase funding for the football pyramid, providing up to an additional £33 million for grassroots football.
Wow, for grassroots. Wow. Ooh. Wow. How long? And does it say how many years that runs? Because I bet it runs out, or it doesn't scale up. I don't trust the payoff, because the payoff is meant to. Exactly. I mean, I know you're being devil. You're playing the devil's advocate, but that payoff is not meant to. It's a very surface level, short term, like. But there's this pot here, which you might get access to. Yeah, you might get access to. But and let's assume that the first two divisions are healthy and everybody's great. I know that's not the case, but like, let's just say that the top two divisions, if you take 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8. That's you're into the hundreds of clubs. 33 million split by 100 plus clubs isn't that much money, really. It really isn't. And I realize that you might take the chance and say, like, okay, well, maybe I'll get my annual piece of that to subsidize the fact that I probably wasn't going to get a draw anyway. But that now diminishes the amazement of the cup, which is sometimes Southend United can beat Manchester United. And they did.
Fuck yes.
It was awesome. I loved it for the Shrimpers. Like, fantastic.
It was amazing. It was so much fun. I was so happy.
And that to me is more important to football than whatever bullshit they're trying to pull here. And I know this is like very romantic purist kind of thing, but like, they basically rigged, or not rigged, but reorganized this entire tournament that's been around for 100 plus years for the sake of 7 clubs, 8 clubs. I don't know. I think it's 7 that may be in, that may be playing for Europe at the time where there might be a congestion. Can you imagine changing the venue of your fucking wedding because two aunts and uncles didn't like the parking structure? Really what this is. We fucking they changed everything for 3 guests. You know, we changed everything for 7 guests. And the worst part is we can't guarantee which 7 they are each year. I mean, it's probably
gonna be the same. We're not sure.
It's probably going to be the same 7. But like, fuck off. For real, fuck off. Especially how rich those clubs are. I can understand if like next year the 7 that go play for Europe aren't Man City, Man United, Everton, or not, I'm sorry, pardon to Everton fans, Liverpool, Arsenal, Chelsea, like not all the big money clubs. It's not them. It's Aston Villa and Burnley and fucking Bournemouth and Brentford. And but that's never the case. It's just these 7 and they're always rich. So fuck them. Yeah. Fuck all of them. So yeah, I'm also proxy mad for everybody else who's mad too. So, and those are my reasons. Thanks. Sorry, guys.
Duncan, do you want to get in on this?
Sure. Yeah.
Sorry, Duncan.
There's a lot of different things with all about this that are just like just the entire press release. Just you know, the final will now take place on the penultimate weekend of the Premier League season on an exclusive Saturday with no Premier League fixtures taking place on the same day. Additionally, no Premier League games on the Friday night before the final to allow focus on the build up to the showpiece event. I feel like it was more of a showpiece when they waited until the season was ended, and it happened like the week after the end of the season. But no, couldn't do that. And so what now? You're just going to have it's essentially, all right, got to the last week of the season. Okay, we're going to take a 2 week break and the FA Cup in the middle. Dude, you're fucking over like both competitions really here. Why? And yeah, the increased funding is like, oh, an additional 33 million a year. And then within that, yes.
Up to. It's not even a fixed
Mm,
number. It's
that
up
is a very good
to.
point, Kristen. Yes, thank you. And just then the next paragraph, the Premier League currently gives away £1.6 billion every 3 years. So £33 million to pounds, it is a tiny, tiny little thing then, apparently, isn't it? I mean, that's 16% of its total revenues to all levels of men's and women's football. And I just, you can go on and on. There's just like so much of it is just that,
It's gross is what it is.
Right, yes.
And many teams, none of I don't think any have any of the top money teams sign any of those letters or come out against this, because like tons of other teams have, and certainly lower league teams have, and a couple of the lower table teams have, but
Yes, and
I
also
don't know.
just like another like part of this kind of like buried at the bottom, but the mid-season break is removed from the calendar to allow a mid-August start date for the Premier League. This longer summer break allows all Premier League clubs to be better able to ensure that players get a consecutive 3 week break in the summer. You want to do that? Don't fucking go to Australia or the States or what have you.
Seriously, I
You
can't
don't
believe
have to
they're
be playing
fucking
all the
going to
games.
Australia. It's so fucking stupid. I just so dumb. What the fuck?
Yes, this takes into account expert advice from medical and technical departments, which values a longer period of complete rest in the summer rather than a short break in the winter. Okay, so don't do your fucking expand the brand trip. Problem solved.
Do you
Jesus
think
fucking Christ.
there's a lot of doctors who are also accountants? Because like I want to meet the person that the doctor that goes, well, you know what the solution here is to take the money, but like no, the fucking thing is rest, asshole. Don't take long flights, dipshit.
Yes. Well, but we're listening to our medical people. Are you
Are
really?
you? Yeah.
Yes. Because I'm sure the medical people are probably saying, yeah, it'd be nice to have a long break in the summer and also like a week off in the winter. That'd actually be pretty helpful. No. Expert advice is saying don't have a week in the winter now, apparently. Sure. It's I don't it's ridiculous the way the game is going. It's all about the money it has been for God knows how long, but it's like, oh well, we need to be playing these games here, and here. So yeah, let's just completely sort of bastardize the thing that this was all built on. Because oh yeah. Yeah. The game's gone, as they say, has been for a long time. Shouldn't be
As they
surprised,
say.
but it's they keep going, they keep pushing with it all. It's
Yeah,
nonsense.
it really is. It's really frustrating that year after year, they stop even like pretending, really. Like
Yes.
they it's frustrating. It's frustrating as a fan of sport, but especially a fan of this particular sport. And yes, you can hold up the World Cup as one of the most money-grubbing, corrupt things ever. And we know that. We talk about it. We still love the football side of it. But year over year, it gets more and more frustrating and gets more difficult. So, and this is no different. And I can't. Especially the oh, it's about the players and needing rest. Fuck off. Just fuck off. 150-year-old tournament. 150-year-old tournament. Come on. Yes, of course, there's always going to be changes, but this one just screams, this is all about the money. We're not even trying. Anyway, let's move on because we could just rant about this for like hours on end. And maybe I'm sure we'll come back to it. Voyager's Cup, which starts this week.
Are
We're going to
they
talk
getting
about
rid of replays in this one too? Because honestly, I don't know if I could
they
take it.
absolutely are. No. Fuckers. No, they got rid of the Highlanders instead. Apparently,
okay, then that's fine.
There couldn't even be one.
There could be none.
So, yes, as we talked about a few weeks ago, the Highlanders have pulled out. The Victoria Highlanders are out of both, out of League 1 BC, both on the men's and women's side, and did also withdraw from the Voyageurs Cup because people were asking, well, they could still play. They're just not playing in League One. No, they withdrew completely. So in their place will be runners up, the Rovers, who are playing the team that knocked them out of the Voyageurs Cup last season after that run they went on, which was a lot of fun, admittedly. So they have, I guess, a chance at a measure of revenge. It's unlikely. However, congratulations, Rovers. Welcome back. Still think whatever is going on with the Highlanders sucks. Whatever is happening, I wish we knew. I wish more details were out in the interwebs, but still sort of seems to be all shrouded in mystery. Yeah, it's so weird. Yeah, there's been like so little scuttlebutt about it too. So anyway, so the Rovers, welcome back, Rovers.
Woo.
Congratulations.
Sure. Wasn't that a party?
Sir, I'm doing Wayne's World bowing to my microphone at you.
For those of you who did not
grow up in
parents who would play pseudo Irish, I say pseudo Irish folk music because they were Canadian, which blew my mind when I discovered that. The yep. Irish Rovers had a couple of songs, and one of which wasn't that which is low-key still kind of a jam.
It's still absolutely a bit of a banger for sure.
After the third time you hear it in an hour, it's like, okay, you know what? This is a good song. So
might have been the gin, might have been the 3 or 4 6 pack. I don't know. I haven't heard that song in years, and it's all in my brain. It's terrifying.
Yeah, I know. It was I don't know how I was going to bring in the unicorn one, but whatever. That was the other song I could name. I know there was others, but
it wasn't that a part. That was the appropriate reference to make, so that was delightful.
If you can't be arsed to go looking for it, I'm going to put it in the playlist. But it's in the playlist.
Yeah.
I feel like Coronation Street would have been the more obvious reference, but
Rovers returned. Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm educated instead. I'm surprised they've never come across that. I suppose I have not had that foisted upon me. I feel like that's the sort of thing that the missus would have been all about back in the day and brought into this relationship, but no. She's a purist. She's like just straight up Irish. None of this Canadian pretend Irish.
None of this faux Canadian.
Yes.
Pretend Irish. Exactly. Nonsense. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Mm-hmm. All right. Moving on to the men's national team coaching situation, which we've talked about off and on a fair bit. Yet another article or discussion about potential candidates out there, especially after the whole Frank Lampard thing, who withdrew himself from the race. Ooh, and then we were talking about obviously Bobby Smyrniotis and the man with the hair, Mr. Tommy Wheeldon Jr. And now it apparently seems that they are looking elsewhere, including an American candidate. Who could that be? Everyone seems to be in agreement that the obvious American in question is Jesse Marsh.
Is Bruce Arena got a new job yet?
Shut your mouth, Duncan Fletcher. Not even for shiggles, not for all the shiggles in the world. No. Bad Duncan.
I can't. I don't want to think of a reality where
no
Arena gets Canada out of the group stage of a World Cup. I can't. I don't know if I want to live in that.
Consider yourself pelted with carrots, Duncan. How dare you?
Okay. Feel bad. Not Bruce Arena. How about a twofer? Bob and Michael Bradley.
I can handle that. It's not going to be fun football, but I can handle that.
No. That would go down well, I'm sure. That would go down well.
Oh, yeah. There'd be no problems with that at all anywhere.
Remember the thing I was saying about fun earlier?
Yes.
Not allowed.
So, Jesse Marsh.
Sure,
thoughts?
No.
Yeah, I didn't say he was an exciting choice, but
he's the least offensive, plausible one I've heard.
Basically,
that's kind of where I'm at.
Like, again, I think Jesse Marsh has some gifts, has some talents, and while not necessarily the coach that maybe he was touted to be, he has done some things and at least shown himself to have some skills, but also I think it's been pointed out probably fairly correctly that he's clashed with club owners over player selection and money and things like that. And I feel like maybe the current situation with the CSA might not work with him. As the sort of de facto, of course, this would be the American in question. It really does make sense. Everything else has been sort of really hit and miss, you know, like Thierry Henry and, you know, Hervé Renard and that sort of thing.
What's his name? That you get basically just floating a whole bunch of trial balloons at this point to say, ooh, Frank Lampard. Oh, no, they don't like that. Okay, so not just some random people.
Well, that's a good question, right?
Canadian guys? People from the CPL? No, people don't seem to like that. Americans? Is this just a new guy who doesn't really know what's going on, trying to get an idea of where he should be going?
I mean, that's a really fair question, quite honestly. It wouldn't be the first time that organizations did that. Let's just plant a few false. Let's see what catches the imagination of the fan base and go from there. We'll see. It's still Mauro Biello's world, and we're all just living in it. But games are coming, and I don't know when they're looking to make this change.
Just one sentence from the article that I guess based on the thing that Christian Jack said, but I knew that four international managers of all four different nationalities, not Canadian at this point, will be getting individual meetings. So it's like all four different nationalities? Are there only four out there? Is this like English, Welsh, Scottish and Irish?
No, you forgot Swedish, there's five.
This is like my dad's sort of speech at my wedding, and he was going on about it. It's like, this just feels like very multicultural,
English, right.
And it's of Roz's, parents of family there, there's Scottish and Irish, and there's like some Welsh at the table as well there. It's like, the maid of honor was half Welsh. And it's like, this is what diversity means to you, is it? You've got all the British things here. you don't notice everything else that's going on.
Hilarious.
But anyway, yes, all four different nationalities. I'm intrigued as to.
I'm assuming it was supposed to say like all of different nationalities. I feel like someone didn't come along and edit that sentence properly, but no, this is delightful. This is far better. Let's just run with that. There's only four. There's only
four. Yeah. There are four nationalities out there for a coach. We've got all of them covered.
All right. One last thing in what we're talking about before we move on to what's coming up. It's a little bit of TFC talk and revealed today officially. Richie Larea is this season's third DP. It's not Jonathan Osorio. What? Yes, confirmed by GM Jason. Hi, Hernandez. Is that he is the third designated player. Jonathan Osorio agreed to restructure his contract to fit under the salary cap as a non-designated player in order to make this happen. But apparently also only a DP for this season. He won't be a DP next season. Delightful. Love that. Why not? So weird. But also... intrigue, dun dun dun, TFC is in discussions to bring in a player and move another player out before Major League Soccer's primary transfer window closes on Tuesday, day after recording. Dun dun dun. So, who do you think is getting turfed? Who are they moving out? Who are they getting rid of? Who haven't they already gotten rid of?
Who's the Amanda still around? Did he go to
No, he's gone. No, he's gone.
Okay.
Who's of potential value but is being squandered on the bench? I think that's usually the question. Who's going to be starting in Seattle next week? You know, like, because that's what happens, right? We let go of a guy who's not good enough, and then Schaffelberg is now the starting winger and looking like a fucking god. That's the TFC Academy away. So I don't know. I'm trying to think of,
does Nashville need more players? Like, what's going on here?
Possibly. That's the good ones go there. The bad ones go somewhere else. I don't know, like Cuejo. Like, I don't know. I'm not.
Cuejo's, no, they wouldn't. No, they wouldn't.
I'm not Cuejo. Wishing anything. For the record, I'm not saying these are the people I want to see go.
No,
I'm like, usually it's somebody who's like
underperforming.
Huge
Akinola? Potential
is IO.
Yeah, I
has like he, there's like, I'm asking seriously because I feel like he may have. I hope not, but
like he hasn't been the same since that injury that season, but he's still not that old, really. How old is, hold on, let me look. How old is Io? Io is 24,
25, maybe.
He's 24. Okay. So, okay. Like, and just turned 24 a couple months ago. So, not, certainly not done in any way, right? But, like, that's a possibility, maybe. Oh, what about,
Was it the Sylvania guy or something like that?
He's injured, sure. Just get rid of him while he's injured.
He's like supposed to be the new Marky Delgado type player, and he's like, nothing's really happened at all with him, has he? You know,
But he's playing pretty decently for them last season. I don't think I was wondering if maybe it was that Malula guy.
Yeah, that's plausible.
Because he keeps getting bench appearances and like, I think what he's got like 2 minutes or something. 11 minutes. I apologize. 11 whole minutes. One sub appearance. 11 whole minutes.
Is Mike Hudson's favorite player like Hugo Mbonge? Is he still here? Can we get rid of him?
He is still here, actually.
Can we get rid of him? He could be fulfilling the whole, all right, you never got a chance here. And then, oh, you're actually quite good somewhere else. Send him to Cincinnati. Yeah. Mike would love that.
Yeah.
And Mike would love that. That's true. Mike, here you go. Here's a special gift from us to you.
Yeah. Don't. That's for all the kindness you've shown us. Here's Mbonge.
Interesting. Yeah. So anyway, so we'll find out for next week's show, but that's something that will probably be decided, in fact, by the time this show is released. So if it's going to happen, it will happen before you even get a chance to listen to this.
And you can yell while you're listening to the podcast, "Oh my God, they were right." Or like, "Oh, they got that one wrong."
Because I'm so wrong.
But make sure, you know, look around, see who's around when you do it, because you will look crazy. And we don't want you to look crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Something to think about. Anyway. Yeah.
But also in the same article, which is, this is interesting. They continue to pay for Diamande until he gets a new gig. So he's on the, they're paying for him. But in a non-player bit of news, here we go. In other league news, Atlanta United announced Monday that it has hired former Toronto FC coach Javier Perez as director of, wait for it, methodology. I love this so much. Methodology. A newly created position to replace academy director. So he's the academy director. I don't know why it needed a new name.
To be fair, his website's so good, I would probably give him a
chance. I was about to suggest,
is there a methodology section on his website that has got him this job?
Oh, it's behind a paywall. It's got to be behind
a paywall. Maybe he renamed the job for himself. I got to say, I loved Coach Javi. I love his website. His website was delightful.
Okay.
Yeah. Tell us. Is there a methodology section?
There's a philosophy and tactics and analysis sections, but not one specifically methodology. But yeah, it's kind of like all three of those together. He needs to work on this and put those together, I think.
Delightful nonetheless. I love it. So methodology. Good for him. You know what? I hope good things come for Coach Javi. I liked him. I obviously he was not going to be the coach and that was never going to work, but I liked his press conferences. I liked listening to him talk, and I freaking love that website. And I think that there is a really interesting person there, but who has some knowledge, and it just is up to a club or a situation to be able to use that. So I don't wish Atlanta any luck whatsoever, but I like Coach Javi. So good luck, Coach Javi.
I enjoy his coaching. That one is in the resume section, coaching highlights and skills.
Well, let's hear it.
World Cup, Brazil 2014.
Ooh.
Canadian second, that's number one. The second article, Canadian Cup finalist 2021.
Oh, okay.
Not winner, but you know, finalist. World Cup under 20, New Zealand 2015. He created the US soccer curriculum and he speaks four languages.
Oh.
So there are four bullet points to his coaching highlights that aren't his multilingual. Multilingual is nice. That helps. Great. Sure. But did you not achieve anything at Real Madrid Youth or with the Spanish Federation or with New York City? Apparently not. Anywho, I shouldn't nitpick, but it's fine. Preparation and capacity to adapt are the key in today's football. This is how I structure the coaching process. Analysis, planning, training, adaptability, and data collection. I mean, that right there is methodology.
That's true. Right here. It really is. Mm. It was there all along.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Delightful.
Ooh, there are 12 different variations of his system of play.
12? 12? Right?
There are 12 different tactical sort of lineups that fit into his system of play.
My goodness.
Wait. What's the other three then?
Let's have a little sort of quick game of penalties. Right, come up with a formation that fits into Javier Perez's style of play. Christian, pick a formation. Let's see if it's in there.
3-5-2.
No.
Ooh.
No.
Oh, I'm gonna just put this one over the plate. 4-4-2.
Yes, that's right. 1-0.
Nice. Got it.
It's like a lottery. You're just picking numbers now.
I'm like 433.
Yes.
Yay! With a bullet
at number one. Well done, Chris.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, do I get a bonus point for that, for picking like on Family Feud? Do I get to like take it back to my team or whatever?
No.
Damn.
Mark?
I'm gonna have to do variants now and go 4312.
4312. No.
What?
No.
It's a 433 and not a 4312. All right, fine. Fine.
4411.
All right. 1-1 after two rounds. This is, sorry, what did you say, Kristen?
I said 4411.
Nope.
Ooh.
What?
All right. Yeah. Then we're gonna go straight Christmas tree. 4321.
4-3-2. No. No.
Does this guy even know football? I mean, really?
Was that not what you said the last time around?
No, I said 4-3-1-2, and now I'm going 4-3-2-1.
Still 1-1 after three rounds.
This is crazy. This is bullshit.
Yeah.
5-3-1-1?
Wow, what the fuck is... What savagery are you playing, Kristen?
I know.
No.
I'm just picturing it on the pitch and realizing this is psychotic, but now I want someone to do it.
6-1-3?
Look at those fullbacks go. Look at those fullbacks go.
Jesus. All right, this is a formation I played a lot in FIFA because I like to play dangerously. 4-2-2-2.
Yes.
Yeah. Coach Abby. All right.
All right. 2-1.
Coach for me.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh my God. That doesn't make any sense. No. Did we do 4-3-2-1?
Yep. I went to Christmas.
Oh, you did.
Christmas
tree. You did. Shit. Yep. 4-3-1-1-1.
No.
I'm just making shit up now. My brain will not accept any other formations, and I cannot make anything else make sense, even though that was psychotic.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is what Kristen is thinking.
Okay, so this adds up to 10, right?
Okay. Let's see.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Is he a fucking madman to do like a 4-2-4?
4-2-4's in there.
Holy
son
shit.
Of a bitch.
All right.
Well, I thought it, I discounted it because it didn't make any sense to me.
Mark wins 3-1.
Kristen, how can you say that? You literally said 5-3-1-1.
I know.
How does 4-2-4 go away? I'm not doing, I'm sorry we even did that much. Because next thing we're going to do is all the football manager nerds are going to come out and have a go at us. And I know some of you, and I love you guys. But keep your spreadsheets away from me.
3-5-2?
No, I think so. I think you said that already. Somebody said that. Anyway,
I said 5-3-2.
The 12 different variations of his system of play. 4-3-3, 4-2-3-1, 4-4-2, 4-4-2 diamond, 4-2-4, 4-2-2-2, 5-2-3, 5-3-2-A, 5-3-2-B.
Oh shit!
Jesus Christ!
3-4-3.
I feel like this is all cheating now.
I almost said 3-4-3. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a bad. That's actually, I like that one.
Yeah. 3-2-2-3 and 3-3-3-1.
Jesus!
What?
You were close with somebody.
3-2-2-2. What?
Fucking drunk.
I was close. I just didn't. I was going too narrow at the top. I needed to.
Drunk. Thank you.
I love it,
Duncan. Thank you for impromptu penalties.
That was delightful.
I also just leaves me to believe that you guys had a good time with the last stupid one I did. So the first one I did. So
yeah, there you go.
Appreciate.
I appreciate you, Mark.
That was good stuff. That was good stuff. Excellent.
Anyway, Coach Abby, woo.
Coach Abby, woo. All right. Well, what's coming up? What's coming up?
Going to?
Yes.
Anyway,
good luck, Hugh.
Yeah.
Yes. What's coming up is the Voyagers Cup. Yay! First two matches are this week. Yes, they are. Yay, Voyagers Cup. Yeah. So the there are two matches this week: Pony Boys versus the Seagulls, and TFC versus Simcoe County. Dun dun dun.
Yeah.
The other Rovers, the Ontario Rovers. Could we have Rovers versus Rovers?
Can you add the word "the" to Simcoe County so they could be the TSC Rovers?
There we go.
There we go.
The Shopping Channel Rovers?
Yes, the Shopping Channel Rovers. Sorry, Barry. I didn't mean it. But now we can't undo it. From the podcast that brought you Space Penises and Pony Boys comes the Shopping Channel
Rovers. Shopping Channel Rovers. Now, Bob, if you see right here, we have a lovely team. 11 players. Look at them. Look at the shine on them. So eager. Come on. What will you bid me for this lovely team?
For a team?
People, the lines are open. Let's have a player on. Young man.
For a team like this, I think I would pay up to $17,000. And that's when you're supposed to tell me no, it's only $69.95. Which they are 99. Worth more than that. They were doing a Shopping Channel joke, not really insulting Simcoe County Rovers.
And if you buy today, we'll give you a second team for free.
We'll throw in their reserve team. Yes. At no cost.
The reserve team, they will mow your lawn, do your laundry, watch your children.
Hey, and clean.
Wait, they're all children themselves. Never mind. That's and illegal.
They'll do your kids' homework and their own.
So, yes.
Let's have Rovers versus Rovers in the final.
Right?
Please. Please.
That would be amazing.
Please.
That would just be amazing. I would be proud to own that half and half.
I'll work on it. If it happens, I will.
Okay.
I will find a loom that can do that locally.
It just says Rovers, and
one half will be sky blue, and the other half will be black.
There you go.
And one end will say TSS, and the other one will say TSC. You're welcome, Simcoe County. We made it easy for everyone.
So good. Oh, it's so good. I love it.
Yeah, Pony Boys versus the Seagulls first day.
Yeah. Well, considering early CanPL season form, this is the Seagulls to lose. Because Pony Boys not looking too fleet of foot there. They are playing. Like, this will be the first, I think the Seagulls have played their first two matches at home, so this will be their first match on the road. So that could have, you know, that could factor in. But I feel like the Seagulls have momentum right now. So I'm saying a 2-1 win for the Seagulls in tomorrow night's match.
Sure. The Seagulls will shit all over the Pony Boys like they're a statue of some fucking military guy on a horse. Shot on by a seagull.
Isn't there I could fly like a seagull?
That is a thing, yes.
Yeah, and it ends with "and shit on you down below" or something.
Shit on the bastards below. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, based on that song, I agree with you, Duncan.
Is everyone saying 2-1 Seagulls? Is that what's happening? Do we have an awooga?
Yes. Yeah, clap, make it happen.
Awooga.
Awooga.
Delightful.
Yeah, I'm basically pro Calgary misery, and
yeah,
that's all. That's those tears are delicious. They're just so good. Anyway.
Those Calgary chefs, they really do produce the best tears.
So much salt. They use extra salt. So this is something that I had forgotten, not realized, I think just forgotten, because I feel like maybe we talked about it briefly last year, earlier this season. I don't know. Atiba Hutchinson is one of the owners of Simcoe County Rovers. Right. I'd forgotten.
Yeah. Donnie O'Henry as well, I think, is in there. So Cypriot landlord, Daniel Henry, I think in there as well. Janine Becky, is it Janine Becky? I think is one of them.
Really?
I could be wrong, but I feel like that's true.
That's true. There was a bunch of CanSoc folk that got involved. You're right.
According to Wikipedia, it was announced that Canadian national team player Kyle Larin was joining the club as a
co. Kyle Larin. Okay.
Yeah. He'd already De Guzman, Julian. Danielle Henry announced as a co-owner. Becky, Hutchinson, and yeah, that's it.
Okay.
I was gonna throw in Chad Barrett at the end, but I didn't want to put him on a roller coaster. Jump. I thought it would have been too on the nose. Mm. Would be that kind of a legend who would get involved in something like this. So I understand.
Yeah, but that's a good fun little ownership group right there. Yeah,
that really is. That is actually kind of impressive, quite frankly. I would be a supporter for them as well. Like, fuck yes, look at this. I'd forgotten how many national team players were involved in this. Well, good luck. We'll be there on Wednesday night, all three of us, to basically cheer on Simcoe County.
Pretty much.
It's going to be, it looks like it's probably going to be a little bit chilly, but it looks like it's going to be very well attended. Again, I know that the Rovers fans, I know there was a real push and they were, I haven't seen a number recently, but they were definitely planning on packing that away section as much as possible. So hopefully they have a huge crowd. That would be delightful. I would love there to be like some real healthy away support and just, you know, give it a proper,
yeah, I feel like I've seen proper tweets atmosphere. Talking about, like I've seen tweets talking about over 1,000.
Yeah. Like that's crazy. Right. Yeah. Like for,
I'd be surprised if the TFC portion of it gets over 10,000, but you know.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. No, that's, I think that's freaking great. Now, they haven't started their season yet, right? So there's really, you know, you can't judge on current form, but they've obviously been practicing a lot. They obviously, again, won the league last year. So
April 11th, there were 1,300 tickets, away tickets sold.
Well, that's freaking awesome.
That's amazing.
That's I cannot wait. I am more excited now for this match than ever.
I've never
see that kind of away support from any team, but from a League One Ontario. Like, come on. That's fucking awesome.
I've never resented the fact that the away section is tucked in the corner more than I do right now.
Yeah.
Honestly. No, for real, though. Mm. Honestly, that's not fair that they get the best away support since the Seattle Cup. And we're, all they did was come from Barrie, and they're just going to be tucked away in that corner where the Wolves are. And not a club, the actual Wolves, the Stadium Wolves, everyone knows about them. That's why you never hear
the Stadium Wolves, yeah.
Yeah, because you know people die and we never hear from them again. But that's a shame, because seeing 600 Barrie supporters in the North End, which would have been mint. Like, they deserve to be seen and heard, honestly. They just do. So, anyway, that sucks. I mean, that where they're going to be tucked away. That's brilliant.
Yeah. But that's right? So that many people. Up. That's so fucking cool. Hell yeah. Oh, I can't wait. I'm so excited now. Just again, honestly, just to see that. That's going to be brilliant.
Also, apparently the head coach is called Zico.
Yeah.
Not that one, but still.
Zach Moradi, like Zico is his nickname, but and you know, hopefully they can sort of give it a good go. As I say, they haven't even started their season yet, so I saw them play against Scrosoppi to win when they won the League One Ontario thing last year. And, they're not, they looked sort of quite good at that level, but yeah. Looking forward to it.
All right. Well, then, score predictions for this momentous occasion, gentlemen.
Oh, man. Okay, so, like, I want it to be, like, one all goes to penalties and Simcoe wins. I really want that. And if anybody who's like, if there's somebody who's never listened to this podcast before and going, I thought you guys were a TFC podcast, you don't understand. As somebody who's wanted real levels of a domestic national setup to have interaction with one another, this thing needs upsets. It really does. And one from the semi-pro league against the one with the second highest payroll in MLS. It's not Schadenfreude. It's legit joy. However, I think it's going to be 4-0 for Toronto.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I need you to know. I want Simcoe to win this so bad. But yeah. Toronto should, by all intents and purposes, stomp them all the fucking way out. Like, they will take their foot off the gas in the second half. It's going to be like that. And I'm okay with that, too. But I want them to be scared for at least 5 minutes, Toronto. Just a give me 5 minutes of like, holy fuck, what's going on? And then everything can settle, and I'm okay with that, too. I need those kids to feel good when they leave.
Yes. Agreed. Duncan?
Yeah, I can't help but think this is going to be similar to when York sort of came and played against Toronto. Was that last year, a couple of years ago? And it's just like, oh, hey, this is kind of fun. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, they're getting beaten pretty handily here. And okay, there's no real tension to this game. Let's just hope that this Wednesday it's not like super cold and wet and miserable and everything. But I will go with 3-1. It'll kind of, yeah, the TFC will take the lead fairly early, then kind of take their foot off the pedal. But at some point, Simcoe will actually score a goal. And there will be a victory.
And that is my exactly. I was just going to say the exact same thing. That's exactly what I figure will happen. And that will be something nice at least. But yeah, it will be an upset of momentous proportions should it go the other way, but it really won't. But I hope it is a well-played game. And I really do hope Simcoe scores. So, and I will cheer loudly for them when they do. It'll be great. Okay. TFC have another match this week. Still MLS games. No breaks for the Voyagers Cup week. No, we don't do that. They can just be tired.
Yeah, fuck it.
They're flying down to Orlando. And Orlando has basically owned TFC the last couple of years. Like, just, yeah, it's not been pretty. They have just been like, hey, you don't get to score any goals against us, and we're just going to score a bunch of fucking goals against you. So, however, Toronto, slightly different team this year, so hopefully things look a little better. Orlando currently below the playoff line, whereas Toronto up in the lofty heights in fifth place. Fifth place. I know. Fancy. And their home record, it's they're 1-1-2. So hard to beat at home, you know, like I would be happy if Toronto eked out a draw in this match, quite frankly, given injuries and stuff like that. We'll see. I don't know if Orlando's missing anybody really important right now. But they are doing the draw win sort of thing their last few matches. Yeah, so they're playing this is the Will Derby. If you know, you know. And we'll see what happens in this one. I think Toronto does have an opportunity, though. They'll have at least Kevin Long back in defense. And some players, you know, in decent form. Sean Johnson, obviously, Prince Owusu has found his scoring boots. Other players have been looking good. Berendeski's still on the hunt for his first goal. So there is potential there for some fun. And yeah, I don't think a point, expecting a point is unreasonable in this one for Toronto. They've actually been, you know, well, I say they've actually been, they've lost three on the road, but anyway, they've gotten some points on the road is what I'm trying to say. And Orlando has conceded 15 goals already this season. So yes, they've scored 10, but they're not exactly a closed door at the back. Right. So there's potential there as well for a bit of sloppiness, perhaps a defensive shit show for you, Duncan.
Let's hope so. It's always, that's always my goal.
As I say, I know it's your favorite.
Yeah.
I'm always very happy when I see it. I do, regardless of the match, I think of you instantly. I'm like, oh, if Duncan was watching this, he'd be so happy right now.
Yeah. At least 5 goals, at least 2 of them complete defensive pickups. Great.
All right. Well, let's do what are our players, players to watch for this one. Oh, God, Ladero's still there? Fuck. Fine. Ladero.
Duncan McGuire.
Yes.
Yeah, at least he's got a fun name, at least. But yeah, scores lots of goals, so he's probably someone to actually generally pay attention to. Ladero, he's there. Okay.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. I'd forgotten that's where he was. I was like, oh, shit. That's where he ended up. Great. So good. Yeah. Also, Jack Lynn.
Yeah, Jack Lynn. That's nice. They've got a woman on the team, Jack Lynn. Yeah.
Exactly.
Fernando Torres?
I know. I did the same thing. please let his first name be Fernando. Is it? Is his first name Fernando? Like, it's Facundo. Not spelled.
It's still kind of fun, but not.
Watch your mouth.
Felipe Martins is on this team and still.
Oh, Jesus. No. Right? Jesus, that's Lord.
First name I looked at and go, fuck.
Oh, fantastic. No.
I mean, they're almost all substitutions, but I think that's actually worse.
Oh, he just comes in and like, causes. Right.
So, yeah.
How
so
many,
we got
how
this
many yellow cards does he have
you
already?
Wanna, you want to go hurt someone?
Okay.
And he goes in.
He's already got 2 yellow cards. Just go shocking.
There. Yeah, just go out there and cause some shit. Waste some time. Yeah.
5 appearances, 2 yellow cards already. 2.
Fun. Yeah, that's when you say 5 appearances. Is it how many minutes altogether is it? I've lost that there now.
94.
Two just yellow cards per 90 minutes, essentially. Card.
Oh, God. Oh no.
Bless him.
Oh dear. Okay. Chaos. Get ready, everyone. Chaos shall ensue. Yes. Okay. I think this
Petrosa.
Should be
Luca Petrosa.
No, he's not anymore. I think he's moved on.
What's with MLS not updating their fucking
It's really annoying. Because I think, there's been a couple times where Bear Jr.'s there.
He does not fucking play there no more.
And that is definitely...
Guys, it's a database. This isn't hard.
No. I know. Petrasso's playing in Italy right now.
For Orlando de la Vella?
Yes. Like, he's still technically an Orlando player, but he's on loan. So I guess that one is vaguely accurate. But anyway, dumb. Yeah, MLS's website is stupid. Yeah, I think this one has goals in it. I'm going to say, Not too many goals, though, because Sean Johnson's been playing. I'm going to say 2-2.
Wow.
Not too many goals because Sean Johnson's been. Since Sean Johnson came back, yeah, zero last night. So clean sheet in the last
game. Great. And he won't play on Wednesday.
Sean Johnson.
So I'm averaging it out.
That doesn't stop things. Defensive should show 3-2 Orlando.
Oh, there you go.
I'm going to go with
3-2 Toronto.
No. I'm gonna go. Two all draw.
That's an excellent choice, Mark. I believe in you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for supporting me.
Thank you. Yeah. No. It was independent of everything. I don't want to inflate your ego or anything.
Aw, come on. No one ever inflates my ego.
Okay, fine. I did it because of you. Okay.
Thanks, Mark. Love you.
I learned from watching you, all right?
Wait, that sounded vaguely threatening.
Teach your fellow podcast.
I was going to say about danger of score predictions.
The dangers of score predictions.
I learned it from watching you. Oh, stupid PSAs burned in our brains.
The context of fun names is David Brekalo. It's like if Breck Shea was into the insane clown posse.
I feel like Breck Shea is the epitome of the insane clown posse.
Oh, 100%.
It wouldn't surprise me.
100%. You know that guy's down with ICP. You know he is. He heads to Detroit every year, puts his fake on.
For the Chuggalos.
Nobody knows who the fuck he is. Even though he still looks like a punchable goof, but the face paint on, he's now in a group with a bunch of other punchable goofs. Yeah. He's down with a clown. You know it.
Delightful. Okay. Well, I believe that is. You know what? Sorry. One very quick last thing that I said to Mark before we started recording, and I'd actually forgotten because I paid so little attention to it this season, especially once any team I remotely cared about was out of it. But the C-cubed is still happening, and Columbus is apparently still in it in the semifinals. So
didn't we save them already, though?
Exactly. They don't need saving anymore. Fuck you guys. And they are playing. Who are they playing again? They're playing Monterey. But Pachuca, future TFC opponent, coming to a League's Cup this summer, are playing America. So, go Monterey. I don't know. I don't know who to cheer for in this situation. I want Pachuca downtrodden, goddammit, so they're still months later, still just so gutted. No, I don't care. I just want Columbus to lose. So traumatized.
But
And then there's lots more Canadian championship goodness next week that we will talk about. So
delicious.
That is our show for this week. Thank you all for listening and joining us. Please join us next week when we talk lots of Voyageurs Cup. We're going to talk about the matches from this week. We're going to preview next week's matches because there's a bunch of them. We'll see how TFC does down in Orlando and more. I have been joined by these two delightful gentlemen to be found out there on the Twitters at Duncan D. Fletcher. Mr. Duncan Fletcher.
Hello. Leafs are losing already.
Seriously? What's the score?
I think it's just 1-0.
Okay, there's still time for them to lose 3-0. On the tweet machines, at KidNerdMark with a K, not a Q, Mr. Mark Hinckley.
Thank you to everybody who continues to support our podcast via Patreon. We absolutely appreciate it. And on a side note, while I was expecting that we were going to pick a player to watch for Simcoe, because, you know, that's the kind of nerdity we are, it sent me down a dive of Cuban football. And because there's a player who defected from Cuba, who is playing for Simcoe County Rovers. And there's some banger badges in the Cuban League. Like really well-designed, nicely colorful. Also, I realize that it's probably like it's, so it, by looks of it, it's the same as like baseball, where there's one team per province and you're just named after the province. But it will never stop being amusing to me that there is a province in Cuba called Las Tunas. So there's an FC Las Tunas, as in the tunas. And
the tunas. I love it.
And their badge features no fish, which is super disappointing. but some of the badges are wonderful. I'll put a link in the show notes. You don't have to really go look, but if you like badges and you just like to see something else, they're pretty good. There's one that's like, there's a clay pot, but it's on an angle. It looks fantastic for some reason. I've never seen a badge like that.
I'm intrigued.
So there you go. That's just also, I there was one player I had to watch because he played for York United, or maybe York 9, who's on Simcoe, but there's some journeyman players like who've been around the world already and they're like 26. So, Wikipedia was the only place that had the list of players for Simcoe County Rovers, not their website and not League One. So we got some work to do, guys.
That's interesting.
but anyway, back to you, Kristen.
Thank you, Marcus. As for me, you can find me on the internet. Yes, the entire internet at KZ Knowles. I have been your host, Kristen Knowles. And until next week, Canada, get used to it.